So for my first question for you, Stu, what do you currently have going on? Talk about what's going on with Debt Dealer, and just talk a bit in general about what you currently have going on.
Well, what's on the table right now is we've got the new Death Dealer, the second Death Dealer album that is currently being written. So we've written 9 tracks that we believe will end up being on the album already. And we've been demoing these between, you know, myself here in Sydney, Australia, and we've got, you know, the guys in the States. And so we've been rolling those tracks back and forth. And that's really taken a lot of our time from October up until now. And, yeah, we're very excited about that because we were very happy with the debut. And, you know, we got a lot of nice feedback. And then the problem is, okay, we have to write a follow-up album. So we're demoing tracks for that right now.
Stu, I'm going to tell you what I told Sean last week, and that is that this Death Dealer album, War Master, in my opinion, is the best debut album of 2013, and one of the best debuts that I have heard in a very, very long time. In fact, you know, most bands, when they get together, regardless if they came out of a garage or if they've been in a lot of really killer metal bands, like pretty much everybody in Death Dealer has been, it usually takes you 2 or 3 records to really come out with that really just absolutely killer record, and you guys did it on the first album. And Stu, I have to ask you, you know, how was the reception to this, and how the whole Death Dealer thing come together?
Well, I think the first point to make, and you know, it's worth us making the point, is that Death Dealer is not a project. It's a band. It is Ross's main band. It's my main band. It's Sean's main band. And I think a lot of that attitude has had a lot to help us in pulling it all together. But the entire experience of Death Dealer has been incredible. It's been the best musical journey of my life, and I'm very lucky to be playing with the guys, and there's a definite chemistry that's occurring within the core of the band that's generating that debut style. You know, the new album is going to be taking it to another level again. We're very hard on each other, and also too work very, very well. So working with the guys is amazing, and I think, yeah, the fact that this is a band of the you know, the older school level helps us, you know, create music as a band instead of just formulating bits and pieces like a project.
And let's talk a bit about that. Let's talk about the musical chemistry, because you look at every guy in this band, and they are very well accomplished. I mean, you got yourself playing with Dungeon, Empires of Eden, and Pain Division, and some of these really killer bands. Sean and Cage. You have Mike Davis, you know, Lizzie Borden, and some of the, and Halford, and some of these other really killer metal bands he's been a part of. You know, then you got Rasta Boss, who played in a really great punk band called The Dictators, and of course, you know, was in Manowar, you know, as an example. So everybody came from a really great background, but to me, it doesn't matter what background you come from, it doesn't matter how talented of a player you are, if you guys don't write songs together, write great songs together, you know, to me, it doesn't work out. And some people consider this an all-star band in a sense, but you know, to me, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like a real band. You know, most all-star bands fail, but you know, the musical chemistry is what's important, and the musical chemistry between everybody in this band, you could tell, is just outstanding. And to me, that's why I think the record sounds great. It's not because of the backgrounds everybody has. Sure, you know, people do have things where, you know, okay, yeah, they have had experience and stuff like that, but you got to be able to write great songs together to make a great band, and if you're even if you're talented, you know, just because you're the most talented group of guys doesn't mean you're going to make and write the greatest record.
Oh, mate, you're absolutely right. You can have guys that have huge pedigree, and it can get together and it can suck. You know, just because you have great players in a room doesn't make good music. That's the thing that made Manowar the band that it was the chemistry in the band. You change the members, you change the chemistry in the feel. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why everybody loves the first, everybody loves the Ross era albums, is because there was a spirit that was happening in that group, and then that dynamic completely changed, and you're getting the product that you're getting now. Mm-hmm. With us, it is, you know, we're very fortunate. It's chemistry, dude. You can't fake it. Everybody that's in a band wants to be firm friends with each other. As you know, you're in a band, you know how it goes. And sometimes you can manufacture some of that, but you cannot manufacture the chemistry. And we've been very lucky in putting this together that the people and the human beings involved are the right people.
You know, I do want to comment on one thing about this album. What I thought you guys did with this record that was really cool was that your pre-order package with the guitar picks and all the really cool stuff you got in that, you know, the poster, the signed stuff. I thought that was a great package for $35. I was really, really impressed with how you put that together.
Well, mate, I think if we get honest with ourselves, the torrenting and downloading situation, it's just a reality. And in fact, I personally welcome people. Go download it. Download the album for nothing. By all means. If you can find it, if you can get a copy, if you want to listen to the album, you want to pay for it, go ahead. Drop by the website, and we're metal fans. You know, when I listen to a band, I want to go buy the shirt. I want some swag. I want some posters. You know, my studio's covered in them. And we thought, why not? Why get on this, you have to pay, you know, $15 for a piece of plastic that you can download for free? So we put our heads together and went, you know what, let's just give people what they want. And we put together these pre-order packages. We called them the Ultimate Warrior Pack. And I think it's got approximately 15 items in it. 15 individual items. You know, there's a 30-page sketchbook from the incredible artist Mark Sasso. You know, there's pics, there's stickers, there's posters, unreleased album art, all in this package. There's also a woven patch in there. So the idea is, why not give people what they want? You know, if people do want to buy the album, they're the people that we love. They're supporting the band. They're getting the hard copies. You know, we're getting vinyls printed up very soon. So we think it's our duty to give people a little bit more than just a piece of plastic and a 16-page booklet.
Yeah.
And I've got to hand it to Sean. Sean was the mastermind behind the packs, and we're organizing something very, very special for the next album. So I think that's going to be part of what Death Dealer does, is the Death Dealer packs are going to be, fairly extravagant.
Now,
and reasonably priced, too. Like, they're not real, you know, they're not expensive. I think the entire package costs similar to what a Japanese pressing of a CD would be. So we sort of broke that down, too.
Now, you're getting some albums done on vinyl, and, talk a little bit about the details behind the whole vinyl release thing.
Yeah, we just signed an exclusive vinyl deal with a German label called Pure Steel, who do have a specialist vinyl arm. My vinyl collection is huge. I was disappointed when CDs first came in, and I think Death Dealer is a vinyl band. We're going to be releasing Warmaster out on dual gatefold vinyl. I think there's 100 coloured vinyl pressings that Pure Steel are going to have for sale, and we're going to have them some copies for sale on the website as well. The album artwork really lends itself to poster-size artwork. Like, when you look at what Mark Sasso did for the album cover, and he's done Halford, and he's just done this incredible new Dio tribute cover as well. And Mark's worked on the new album, too. To see that on vinyl, you know, 12-inch vinyl sleeve is where it needs to be. That's what metal is for us, man. Remember the first time you listened to Maiden or Priest, it was... You know, for most of it, well, for me anyway, it was on vinyl.
Yeah.
So that's coming out.
Well, you were talking about a lot of posters hanging around the studio, so I can't help but ask the question. Do you have more posters in your studio, or, you know, more ESP guitars hanging up?
the guitar collection, mate, at the moment is hitting around, like, just almost on 30.
Okay.
A lot of those are ESPs, and But yeah, the studio is a lot of fun to go into, that's for sure.
Well, I'm always seeing you post these pictures of these really cool looking designs on some of these ESP guitars, man. I mean, paint jobs and custom jobs, you know, as far as what these things look like. And I'll tell you what, I think these things are really amazing looking.
Yeah, I've been with ESP now for about 12 years, and my relationship goes deep with them into Japan, because I did, when I was in a band called Dungeon, we did a Japanese tour, and I got to know them then. They made me a signature model last year called a random star, Stu Marshall Random Star, and they're looking into putting that into production. I think there's some photos of that on the Facebook page. It's like a flame maple purple finish.
Yeah.
But, man, I love graphics. I'm just, you know, when you're a kid, that's the cool thing about being an adult, right? When you're a kid, you lust after, you know, whether it be, you know, high-performance sports cars or, you know, all the boys' toys. Well, for me, it was, you know, big graphical guitars, you know, like looking at the ESP catalog and the Jackson catalog and all that stuff as a kid. So as you get older, you can kind of get the means to get all the toys, you know. And so I like graphics on guitars, and I love 80s metal-looking axes. So, yeah, that's right up my alley.
Well, the album seemed to have a pretty positive response. You know, I'm talking about Death Dealer's Warmaster. And to me, how was the response for you? I mean, what did you think of the response and a reaction to this album?
Yeah, the first comment is I'm really comfortable with the response, even if it's negative. We sought out to polarize people. You'll love it or you'll hate it. It's high-powered power metal. You know, it's got traditional elements, and we knew that a few people just wouldn't get it, and that's okay. That's, you know, this isn't Justin Bieber. The majority of the reviews, and we've printed all of them up on our website, you know, the majority of our reviews were great. You know, we were getting 9 out of 10s, 8 out of 10s, and more importantly is the fan response. You know, we've had a lot of people reach out that have been big fans of Manowar, especially. And, you know, if you go to our Facebook, you'll see their comments. They're hungry for more of the Manowar era stuff that Ross was involved with, which they haven't been getting. And, you know, I don't really listen to the newer Manowar stuff. I'm a big disciple of the old stuff. And, I think fans of that kind of era of metal are going to get Death Dealer, and we're stoked about the response, mate. We're real happy with it, and you know, we went to a few of the major labels with the first album, and we had a couple of deal offers, and then when we started talking to them about how they were going to handle the album, we were disappointed, because we needed to work with somebody that cared about the album. And, you know, so we're going to see what the future holds on the business front. But we put it out through Soul Food in Europe, which is the largest metal distributor in Europe. And things went great. We're real happy with it. We signed into Japan, got released in Japan, did really well over there. I think we scored in the high 80s in Burn magazine. And
well, I have to say that my favorite Manowar album, believe it or not, as crazy as this sounds, is the debut album. I still think that, you know, man, the vibe that Manowar had in the early days with Ross was just outstanding. And, you know, I couldn't help but think that same thing with you and Sean. I mean, when I heard Total Devastation on Reborn and Fire by Empires of Eden with you and Sean writing together, it just hit me. It just hit me really hard about how amazing you guys sounded together as a songwriting team. And, you know, I kind of got that vibe that Ross would probably be the same thing with you, where you guys would complement each other. But, you know, it just seems going into it, there was a lot of musical chemistry between everybody.
Well, it's funny. I think you're actually instrumental. You know, you're definitely part of the idea of Death Dealer, because you were originally suggesting, you know, that we should get into a band together, and obviously Sean and I had been on that same mindset too. But let me make a statement, man. This is important. Ross is one of those underrated players. And we, you know, and the sad day when he's not with us anymore, the world's going to get it. Ross the Boss, is one of those few players that influenced two entire genres of music, obviously with the Dictators being a punk band. I think it was their debut album's just been announced by a huge American magazine as the most important American punk album of all time. So, you know, when I got to know Ross as a friend, and you appreciate even more of what a great human being the guy truly is, you then also understand what a genius the guy is. You know, he essentially developed true metal, and I think, you know, listeners of metal need to take another close look at Ross the Boss. You know, and that's the other thing. I'll talk all day about Ross, but what makes him so great is he's a band guy, right? He's not a soloist. He's not, you know, I'm Ross the Boss. He's always been a band guy, and that's why, you know, he needs more attention in the guitar community, because he's blowing my mind all the time. I always have to go back and redo my takes after I hear what he lays down. And he's an inspiration. So, you know, I think I'll make the statement. I think the loss of him to Manowar was Manowar's greatest loss, you know. And the band's never been the same since. And as you'll find on all the forums, people want him back. But yeah, they're doing their thing, and I guess that's what it is. But we're doing our thing.
You know, I know there's a lot of focus on yourself and Sean and Ross the Boss, and that's what I see quite a few people talking about. But one of the things that people really aren't talking about is Mike Davis, because Mike Davis has been in some really killer metal bands, and the guy's just an outstanding bass player.
Let me tell you about Mike, too. Apart from the fact that he was, you know, in Lizzie Borden, which is one of the greatest American metal bands, and still is, you know, but that legacy, and he obviously played with Halford. But Mike's an incredible songwriter and a producer. You know, Mike's the go-to guy. Mike's the guy will carve out a song, like finish a song, and give it to Mike. And so these are the qualities in some people. Yes, he's an incredible bass player and, you know, one of my best friends on the planet, and a lovely guy. But he's also a great songwriter. And that's what assists a band in having a little longevity. Guys that, you know, we've all been there before. Ross obviously has done it all. But when you have the ability to write, you tend not to have to force your point as a songwriter. You just bring your stuff forward. But there are a lot of guys out there that are great guitarists, great drummers, great bass players, but they can't write. And that's where you get a lot of tension. So, yeah, Mike's incredible, man. He's the heart and soul of what we're doing.
Now, you have a new drummer in a band, and let's talk about him.
Sure. Look, we finished the tour, short American tour in Mexico last year, and Rhino decided to move away from music entirely and drive trucks, you know, do long-distance truck driving for a career. And, you know, we respect that, and that happens. People have to make changes. And so we're on the search, because we had a tour coming up at that time for South America, which ended up not materializing. And we found a guy called Steve Bolognese. And now, I may have mispronounced his surname. It might be Bolognese, but he'll throw something at me anyway. He was playing drums in a band called Into Eternity, which I was a big fan of. They had a song called Timeless Winter, which just blew my face apart. And that had a singer in a band called Stu Block, who now is with Iced Earth. And as soon as his name was mentioned to me, I knew the guy can play. You know, he's a technician. And then we found out that he's a Berkeley graduate, and he's a Mike Mangini prodigy. He worked with Mike Mangini for 3 years, and he lives in LA, and he's looking for a band. We approached him and had a talk to him about what Death Deal is doing, and straight away he was super excited, because he wanted to get back to something that was a little less math metal orientated and just get down into the power. And he's been a great addition, man. He's just such an easygoing guy, but the guy I'd say he's the best musician in the band. You know, he's just so schooled, but he's not wooden. He can just do anything he wants, so he's fantastic. And we're very glad to have him in the band, and from all accounts, he's real stoked to be with us.
Now, I know you have a recording studio, Stu, and I've seen you advertise that you do album mastering and other stuff, and let's talk about your studio. You know, how could someone get a hold of you if they want your services as far as any type of production services for music?
Yeah, look, I have a commercial studio here in Sydney, Australia, and I handle everything from full-level production, drums, guitars, the whole deal, all the way through to mastering. Frontiermastering.com is the website, or people can also find it on Facebook. And I can even master demos. So if someone's got a rough demo or something, we can polish that up here. We've got a whole bunch of really cool outboard preamps and compressors, as well as software-based stuff. So, that's my other passion is handling production at Frontier, and we can also do full production here. I actually mix and master all of the Death Dealer, all of the Empires of Eden material directly from my studio here in Sydney.
Now, what else are you working on? I know you've done stuff with the other band called Pain Division, and you know you have Empires of Eden, obviously putting an album out, and you did announce that Ralph Sheepers is going to be singing on the album, and that the vocals came out great. And what can people look forward to as far as hearing Ralph Sheepers sing on the next Empires of Eden?
Look, Empires of Eden has always been an artistic expression. Okay, there's no sellout here. You know, it's never been put together to sell a million CDs. It's been put together for each singer to really want to express themselves the way that they want to. And what you kind of get that's cool with Empires is you get a lot of truth. You know, a lot of the singers I've worked with in the past, they've been dictated to and told what to sing. And, you know, I work with Michael Vassira, and he, you know, composed all of his own lyrics, all of his own melodies, and we fused all of that together. So, you know, that's with the last few albums have featured, you know, like we had Udo Dirkschneider, Zach Stevens, Rob Rock. I had a guy called Tony Webster sing on the new album. And you know, mate, that's where this thing is at. I'm asking friends of mine, whether they be Metal Mike from Halford, who's playing on the new album, or Rick Altsy from Master Plan, through to, you know, obviously you have a band and you have a profile in America, but I've worked with some singers here in Australia that people over in the States don't know.
Yeah.
And when you hear these guys, you think, oh my God. And that's what this is, dude. This is really about friends getting together and having a great time. What have people got to look forward to? Well, Ralph Sheepers is on the new album, and Ralph is singing in a style that isn't like Primal Fear. You know, I don't write music like Primal Fear. Ralph's just, you know, killing it. It's a song that Sean and I wrote for him. This new album is far wider and deeper, and it's going to be special. You know, I think the artwork is incredible. It's just a very special experience, and unlike Avantasia, this, you know, Empires of Eden is song by song. You know, you don't have to listen to the whole album to understand the concept. Mm-hmm. And believe me, Avantasia influenced me to do this in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, Arjun Lucassen is a huge influence. So I've taken kind of those larger concepts and turned them into a smaller song-by-song approach, you know. And the new album, dude, it's going to be very, very exciting.
Now, you bring up a really good point. You bring up a point about some really killer heavy metal vocalists from down in Australia. Because, see, I get so much stuff sent to me, Stu, and I don't really get much from where you're from. I don't get much from a land down under, in a sense. But you hear these killer vocalists, and I couldn't help but start exploring the Australian metal scene, and I found a lot of really talented vocalists and a lot of talented bands down there, and it just completely amazed me.
That's the scene, mate. That's the scene. You've got a very hungry heavy metal scene in Australia, but it's very small. You know, our Australia's entire population is less than California.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get that concept, and we're on the bottom of the world as well, there are just some great bands here. You know, if you want to talk, you've got Crimson Fire with a singer called Louis Georgievsky. Louis's been on every single album, and he was there at the start. He was the first guy I contacted for Songs of War and Vengeance, which was the debut. You've got Danny Ciccardi, who has just actually left the band I Fear. Just such great singers. Like singers that are truly world-class. And what can I say, mate? You know, I just write the music for this stuff, and I'm just part of the process, so it's just a wonderful thing. And we're coming up to album number 4, and nothing gets on this album, on any Empires of Eden album, unless there's a good vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you controversially, man, straight up, I've worked with a couple of singers, and it didn't work out, and I just cut them off the album.
Mm-hmm.
I just deleted the track. You know, if I paid them a fee, I just put it down to experience, and they're not going to end up on Empire. So this is all about good vibes and good people, and I hope that comes through in the music. That's the most important thing.
Something else I want to bring up, you had a band called Pain Division, which I thought was a really killer band. I really thought that the music you put out with them was really cool. Maybe talk a little bit about that band.
Pain Division was a band I started back in 2005. And it was when I left Dungeon, I wanted to do something completely different. I wanted to do like a Wasp meets Motorhead kind of thing. And I formed Pain Division. We got management. And the band had a fair bit of success in Japan and Australia. So we were supporting bands like, we were on tour with Helloween. We supported Sebastian Bach, Black Label Society, Death Angel, Armored Saint. And so we had a whole run, and we released a couple of albums. And then, you know, sometimes things fall apart. Bands, you know, members leave, and we had some chaos like many bands do. And really what's happened is because the various members of you know, the latest version of Pain Division have been so busy, like I've got Empires of Eden and Death Dealer and my studio, that's been running really for the last 3 years. Our bass player Dan, who's also the singer of Pain Division, has been very busy with a band called The Amenta, and they've been touring through Europe constantly. Just getting everyone together to get this album done has been very, very difficult. So we've just put it on the back burner for now, and it's definitely downgraded to a project. But you know, it was a cool thing at the time, and we'll just see what happens in the future with that.
Well, Stu, for my last question for you, what do people have to look forward to coming up? And any last words to say to all the heavy metal fans here in the States, and of course, you know, maybe worldwide, they're going to be checking this interview out down the road.
Look, please drop by deathdealer.co. Please drop by, check out the store. You know, we sell stuff that's you know, ready to go out the door. Check us out on Facebook. You know, we always put our news up on Facebook first. So we'll actually put it up there like a day before it goes anywhere else. We interact with the people there. If you've got questions, if you think the band sucks, tell us. You know, honestly, we're here to listen. We're here to listen to what people have to say. And, you know, drop by, check it out. And, yeah, we look forward to touring more in the States. And I'm looking, right now, I'm talking to Sean about doing an East Coast run sometime this year, so I'm hoping we can make that happen.
That would be amazing, because that would be something I'd be able to go to myself. So, really quick, could you do an ID for me?
Of course, yeah, anything you want.
Just, you know, hey, say it's Stu Marshall from Death Dealer, and you're listening to the Metal Command. And
you ready?
88.3 WBWC. Did you remember all that?
No. Can I just do the Metal Command?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. That's fine.